This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Legislative leaders are asking Governor Tomlin to expand his special session call and add at least six more bills to the agenda. Constitutionally, only the governor can decide what lawmakers can consider when he calls them to the Capitol for a special session. But as Ashton Mara reports, many members believe their hands are tied with the current call and want more options.
I find it very hard to believe he will not change this call if there's consensus on certain items.
That's what Department of Revenue Secretary Bob Kiss told lawmakers Monday during a joint meeting of the House and Senate Finance Committees. Tuesday, House Speaker Tim Armstead and Senate President Bill Cole took his advice, sending a letter to Governor Tomlin asking to expand his special session call to at least six more pieces of legislation. Speaker Armstead.
We have been talking with the governor about a number of those issues throughout the last couple months and felt very strongly that if some of those issues were added to the call, that would help us to be able to balance this budget.
The list of bills includes measures to defund the Greyhound Breeders Fund and the Racetrack Modernization Fund. It includes revisiting the state school aid formula to cut some county funding, decreasing distributions to the West Virginia Infrastructure Fund, and cutting the cabinet-level Secretary of Education and the Arts. Those add up to more than $56 million. Almost all of the proposals, with the exception of cutting the cabinet position, were presented to lawmakers by Governor Tomlin during the 2016 regular session and were either never discussed or failed.
Is asking for those bills basically saying that there's more willingness now than there was during the regular session?
I certainly think there is.
Armstead says his members are willing to discuss ending the subsidies to racing and casinos in order to balance the budget, as well as the other measures. Senate Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael says he doesn't know if there is more or less willingness, but his chamber wants the option to discuss them now that lawmakers are facing a more pressing budget deadline.
If the argument is these have already failed, so don't put them on there, then you can't really make that because he's already put other things on there.
Things like the 45-cent tobacco tax or telecommunications tax. Those measures failed during the regular session, but found their way onto the special session call. But that's not necessarily Tomlin's argument. His argument is that there is no comprehensive plan. Still, Tomlin says he's open to considering adding the requested bills to the call. Quote, but before I place any item on an amended call, Tomlin said in a response letter to legislative leaders Wednesday, it must be clear how the item fits into your overall plan to balance the budget. End quote. According to Armstead, that plan from the beginning has consisted of a mix of budget cuts, revenue increasing measures, and pulling reserves from the state's rainy day fund. But Tomlin says he's never been presented with any specifics.
You know, if we're going to have cuts, show me what they are. We've talked about, well, they've talked about making cuts to the budget for the last, since the first of the year, but nothing specific.
I would respond that list has been handed to him directly in meetings between the legislature and the governor.
Armstead says legislative leaders have even asked Tomlin for help vetting those specific cuts with the state agencies they would affect.
Have we said this is the exact list and everybody and 100% agrees? We have been trying to work with him and see what his response is to some of these. But there's nothing on these cuts that I think is should be a surprise to him.
For the other pieces of the plan, Armstead says he doesn't currently know how much money lawmakers will look to take from the rainy day fund for the 2017 budget and won't until after the House takes up the tobacco tax, the only revenue increasing measure presented by Tomlin that's being discussed. The bill, which includes a 45-cent tax increase per pack of cigarettes and a new tax on e-cigarette liquids, will be up for a vote in the Senate Thursday. Armstead says the tax is something he's reluctant to do, but he will vote in favor of it.
I believe it will pass. If it does not pass, then we're going to have to go back and look for additional cuts.
While Tomlin does have the ability to cut revenues out of the final version of the budget before signing it, he does not have the power to appropriate funds where lawmakers have cut them. So is there a chance lawmakers can approve a budget that receives a veto?
There's always that chance.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara at the State House.
The House convenes at 11 today, the Senate at 11:30. You can watch both floor sessions online and on the West Virginia Channel. Yesterday, representatives of the Appalachian Regional Commission visited Sutton to discuss the process for applying for funding from a newly allocated pot of federal money. Caitlin Campbell reports.
A crowd of about 200 people gathered in Sutton to learn about the process for applying for funding from the Appalachian Regional Commission and Economic Development Administration's Joint Power Initiative. The initiative allocates technical assistance and implementation grants to organizations and communities who are working to alleviate the effects of coal's decline. While implementation grants make up the majority of the $46.5 million of funding, $1.2 million have been allocated toward technical assistance grants. These smaller grants can be used to help groups commission studies or pay for a professional grant writer to assist with proposals. Co-chair of the Appalachian Regional Commission, Earl Gohl, says that funds from the Power Initiative are meant to be a boost to local community groups and projects.
The concept here is really to leverage new opportunities and to make strategic investments in coal-impacted communities to help them really support and develop small businesses and really to create the infrastructure and really the ecosystem that will let them go forward.
Projects are required to provide detailed arguments for why and how their work touches coal-impacted communities, as well as how they will generate new jobs and revenue for the region. Alyssa Novoselic, the executive director of the Tamarack Foundation, was amongst the crowd of eager change makers. She hopes to use funding from the Power Initiative to expand distribution of works created by West Virginia artists.
I think artists are vital to the revitalization of coal-impacted communities, not only on the economic development side of things as we work to build the creative economy of West Virginia, but as creators in placemaking and identifying community assets.
Applications for power grants will be accepted via the Appalachian Regional Commission's website on a rolling basis until the funding has been exhausted. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Campbell in Sutton.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. I'm Beth Voorhees.